When you find your place there in Hebrews 5, let's stand together and we'll read our text tonight. And we'll begin reading again in verse number 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong cryings and tears, unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now let's close reading right there and bow our heads tonight in prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee tonight for the goodness of God in the land of the living. Lord, how my heart is stirred whenever I think of Jesus and consider the grace of God that brought salvation to my heart. When I consider Your suffering, Your pain that You endured, the life that You laid down, rejected by men, but yet, Lord, precious in the eyes of God and those that You came to redeem. And it's my prayer tonight that You'll steal our hearts. Help us to see great truths, Lord, from this Scripture, from the thought that You've laid upon my soul tonight. Help me to convey it to our people. May our hearts be moved for Thee, and You glorified, and in the final analysis, may sinners be saved to bring glory and honor to God. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, I want you to keep your Bibles open tonight. I may not do anything but just time to teach a little while, but I may break out and preach too. Well, the Bible said that a pastor is apt to teach, but I'm a whole lot more apt to preach than I am to teach. I'll guarantee you on that. But I want to try to take these scriptures tonight. Verses 8 and 9 will be our text tonight. And I want to try to preach for a little while on the grace of obedience. The grace of obedience. Obedience is a grace because it's a grace from the Lord, because man in his natural state is a rebel. He is a rebel. And man in his natural condition cannot obey the word of the Lord. He cannot know the word of the Lord. He cannot obey the word of the Lord because he's a natural man. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither doth he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And so the only way a man or a woman can be obedient to the Bible is to have that grace of obedience bestowed upon them. And that, by the way, that grace does break the bind, the bonds of sin, and liberates a man or a woman and gives them liberty in their soul to resist sin in their life and to live victoriously for the glory and honor of God. Now, I want you to notice these two words in our text. The Bible said in verse number 8 that though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And then in verse number 9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that disobeyed the word of God. No, that's not what it says. Church, I'm just going to be honest with you tonight. We've given the rights of salvation to a lot of people that have never been saved. They've just never been saved by the grace of God. In all of this Bible, and you mark this down and quote me at it, but in all of this Bible, in all the Word of God, the greatest evidence of salvation in a man's life is that of obedience. For it is clear from verse number 9 that he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. In fact, I believe that that's reaffirmed in Brother Peter's writing in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 22. Peter said, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. I'm telling you, and by the way, now everybody look, The Bible said that a man will know the truth, and the truth shall make him free. Make him free from what? From the law of sin and death. Now I'm telling you on the authority of the Word of God, a man or a woman that claims to be saved by the grace of God and continues in sin has never experienced the grace of God or never encountered the power of God. They're still in the bonds of iniquity in their sin, and they're dying and going to hell. Now, Brother Hall said that. Amen. God has no disobedient youngins. Somebody said, oh, what if they do? What if they do get out of sorts and get out of joint? There is a little word in the Bible called chastisement that God can administer, my friend, in the right place to bring you back into the way, amen, into the obedient way of the Word of God. I'm about fed up with this crowd that has never learned any kind of obedience, and yet they're claiming to be saved by the grace of God. Hey, our Lord learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Now, there's one or two things about it. Either a man living in sin has never been saved, or he's never suffered enough to learn that grace of obedience. Now, I'm not going to say that all are lost, but I'm telling you, friend, it's a pretty good evidence that if a man is disobedient to the commands of the Bible, that he's never been saved by the grace of God. Never. Now, you hear me well. It is a sure sign of being submitted to a power that is greater than yourself. Did you hear what I said? Obedience is a sign of being submitted to a power that is greater than you are. You see, when we're not submitted to the higher powers, that proves that we're a rebel. But we're a rebel against authority. We're a rebel against power. And I tell you, a man that has humbled himself and become obedient to the doctrines of Christ and to the Word of God and humbled himself that way is a humble man. But I tell you, a man that will not humble himself to the authority of the Bible and submit himself to it, that remains disobedient. And by the way, they'll try to find every loophole they can find in the Bible to remain in their stinking sin, and they'll try, if you let them, to drag you right down in the same slow gutter where they're living at. That's right. Now, notice with me. I want to notice tonight, by way of introduction, several of those things in the Bible that we are to be obedient to. I said things now. Amen. Y'all might as well smile. Hey, that's right. Now just follow with me. Titus 3:1. If you want to write these scriptures down. Titus 3:1 said we are to obey. Hey, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Now I want to remind you here that Paul is writing to a young preacher by the name of Titus. And he said, Titus, you better keep in mind or to remind them that they are to be subject unto principalities and the powers, because the powers that be are of God, and a man that rebels against the powers that be is a rebel in the eyes of God. Not that he's necessarily rebelling against the principality and power, but he's rebelled against the authority of Almighty God. That's right. I know that's right. But he said, obey magistrates and be ready to every good work. Now, everybody listen carefully. That word magistrate literally refers to the work rather than the office. And that word literally means to be persuaded by a ruler or to submit to authority. And I've got news for you. Buddy, this is a principle that man will have to follow all of his life. Somebody said, what do you mean, Brother Hawk? I'm simply saying that we from birth to death are going to be accountable to somebody. That's right. That's right. And we're going to have to find ourselves obedient to somebody all the days of our life. And so you just might as well get used to it. I tell you, a man that's a renegade on the job and cannot, my friend, obey that man out yonder in the workforce has never become obedient to the Bible. A man that cannot obey man cannot obey God. The Bible said, how can you love him whom you have never seen if you don't love them whom you have seen? I want to just put it like this. How can you obey him whom you have not seen if you cannot obey them that you have seen? Amen. Obey magistrates. Yes. It is a principle that we are to be subject to the powers that be, my friend. And if that principle will follow you and me all the days of our life. That's right. I know it is. Folks, it'll be a good Sunday school lesson. I tell you, it'll keep you from being a rebel. Keep you from being a renegade, buddy. Hey, and by the way, that's Bible. That's not my opinion. I didn't write that. That's what the Bible says. And we're not going to scratch the surface in it tonight. I'm amazed at how many times obedience, obey, and obeyest, and all the other forms of that word are used in the Old and New Testament alike. Somebody said, well, it means different in the Old than it does in the New. You full of last year's honey, buddy. I'm telling you, the word obey is the word obey, and it's as good today as it was back then, and it was as good then as it is now, and there's no difference in the Old and the New. That's right. Amen. The same God that said in the book of Deuteronomy that we're to obey the commandments of the Lord is the same God that wrote Titus 3:1 that we're to obey magistrates. Now, Colossians 3:22, you're going to like this one. Servants, obey in all things. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what's that word all mean in the Greek? I'm glad you asked. It means all. All things, not some of them, all of them. Means all of them. Obey, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Let me ask you something in here. How many of you got masters according to the flesh? Better believe you have. And we're to be obedient in all things. Then I'm telling you, if you work on a job, and that man that is paying your salary tells you, bless God, to go out and clean out the grease pit, or go out and cut the grass, or to go out and stand on your head in the corner, I'm telling you, according to the Word of God, bless your heart, you're not supposed to quibble, fuss, moan, groan, stop, complain. You're just supposed to humbly submit yourself to that power and go do it. God. Now I'm leading to something. Servants, obey your masters. Amen. In all things. Those that are according to the flesh. You need to underline that, all things in that. Amen. Somebody said, what if it's an ungodly act? Well, now look here. You know, you've got to use some little bit of judgment. Don't be a moron about this thing. Man out there tells me to go get drunk. I'm going to humbly submit myself the best way I know that man, but I'm not going out and get drunk. Hey, look here. God says this is according to the laws of God. And when their laws supersede the laws of God, I'm going to be like the early disciples and say, we had rather obey God than man. Mark her down. That's right. Now, what about Colossians 3:20? Children, obey your parents. In all things. There's that word again, in all things. For this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Hey, somebody said, preacher, I'm 21 now, and I'm out under my daddy's roof. I don't know how many of y'all been listening to Cecil Fayard this week. But I'm going to tell you what Brother Fayard said. He said, 50-year-old man, if he goes back home, walks through his daddy's door, he's to be in subjection to his daddy. God have mercy on a renegade man that would shake his fist in the face of his daddy and disobey his daddy. Amen. While he's living under his daddy's roof, he's a rebel from the Word of God. That's right. And it's well-pleasing to God. Amen. That pleases God. That shows a sense of humility. That shows a spirit of meekness. That shows a submissive and a humble individual that is not proud-hearted and stiff-necked and hard-hearted and rebellious against their own parents. I'm telling you, show me a teenager that is a rebel at home, I'll show you a teenager that's a rebel against God. And you show me one that's a rebel against God, I'll show you one that's a rebel at home. It works both ways. It works both ways. Children, obey your parents. Buddy, I'll tell you, that is a sure sign of a spirit that is right with God in that young person. Buddy, that's humble around the house. Don't back talk their mom and daddy. And parents, look up here. I want everybody to look up here because I'm getting ready to plow some of you's tater patch. You let that little boy, that little girl get by with that little one three-lettered question all the time now. Why? 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 I'm going to tell you what that is. That is rebellion. Why? Why? That's God, you know why I tell them? Because I said so, that's why. Amen. Amen. That's it.
Yes,
if it's why all the time, or if you have to speak two or three or four or five times to get their attention, bless your heart, you better mark her dad. You've got a disobedient child on your head that you better deal with now.
Amen.
That's right. If you don't break their heart now, they'll break your heart down the road. And I tell you, their heart will mend at 4 years old a whole lot faster than yours will at 50.
Right.
I've had mine cracked a few times. They don't mend too fast. Amen.
Amen.
Son, I tell you, they ain't nothing to grieve a man anymore. Read the book of Proverbs. There's nothing that'll grieve a man or a woman anymore than to have a rebellious son.
Amen.
Or daughter.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said, well, I just can't seem to put one of them out under my roof if they of age and still won't mind what I'm saying. You better listen to what the Word of God said. I'm going to tell you what God said in the Old Testament. He said if one of them is if a son's rebellious, you ought to take him out in front of the elders, buddy, and tell the elders, I've got a glutton and a rebellious son and a drunkard, and the elders of the congregation pick up stones and stone him to death. What are you saying, Brother Hall? Well, we don't stone kids to death today, but I'm here to tell you, buddy, that God's Word, amen, that God's Word points out that rebellion and disobedience is as the sin of witchcraft.
Amen.
That's right. I told you I ought to shout it on the singing.
Amen.
Amen. Children, obey your parents. Now, I expect her to tighten down a little bit right here. I hate to even have to be the one to say this. We might as well just tighten her right on down. Christians are to obey the man of God. That's Bible. I didn't write it, but I know how to read it. Obey them that have the rule over you. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your soul. Now, I'm going to tell you, it took me a long time to get a hold of that. But I'm telling you that the man of God is not necessarily a wise man in himself, but God will endue a pastor with a little bit of wisdom, folks, and a watchful eye, and give him enough grace and enough ability to look out over the congregation of people, and he can discern when you're headed for trouble. Amen. Somebody said, I get tired of you busting my hide. Get right, and the hide busting will stop.
Amen.
It ain't me, it's the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost cannot look through my eyes and see a rebellious spirit and let it alone. He's going to correct it if you're God's child.
Amen.
Mark her down. Hey, watch for your soul.
Amen.
Amen. I'm trying to watch your souls. Guard against things. Like a shepherd that leads his children from snares and pitfalls. And from things. Hey, God's given a man a little bit of discernment to look down the road. And I think I've been through a few things. That's why daddies, believe it or not, children, mommies and daddies got a little bit more sense than you have. Oh, I know when you get 14, 15, 16, 17, especially 18, buddy, you think you've arrived to know it all. But you still a little wet behind the ear, June bug, and don't know nothing. news for some of you bigger ones. You may be 30 or 35. I'll tell you the same thing. Amen. You still wet behind the ears. You ain't learned a whole lot yet.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, but Brother Hall, I've got 3 kids. Bless God. I know how to raise them. You ain't raised them yet. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? A man of God, God gives you a man of God to watch for your soul. And you ought to have enough respect for the man of God to be obedient to what that man says. Hey, but look here, and this is pointed out to me today in the Scriptures. You only follow God's man as he follows the Lord. Brother Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord. Now I'll tell you some jack-legging, cigarette-sucking, television-watching devil that ain't a following God. His people are not compelled to follow him. I'll tell you something else. A non-cigarette sucker and a non-television watcher and a non-Bermuda short-wearing man that is not obedient to the Bible, his people are still not required to follow him.
Amen.
Man, Paul told Timothy, he said, you set the example in word and in faith and in charity. And I'm going to tell you, when Brother Hall ain't setting that example, you come tell me and I'll try to get lined up right. Now, I'm trying to get her lined up where I ought to be. God forbid that I should get up here and preach something and then go out and commit the same atrocity I'm preaching against.
Amen.
I'm not going to get up here and preach against Hollywood and then watch television at the house. Put me a TV. No. I'm not going to preach against sports and worldly pleasures and run off to the ballparks and the gymnasiums. I'm not going to preach against nudity and put on a pair of shorts and run down to the beach. No. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to preach that a man's temple is the body. Body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, and then the phallus with wickedness and ungodliness like tobacco and drugs. Ain't that right? My Bible tells me a man ought to abstain from all appearance of evil. Folks, if it just appears to be evil, well, leave it alone. Well, leave it alone. Hey, it says, hey, he watched for your souls that he might give it, or as it watch it rule over you, submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that they must give an account. I've got to give an account to God for you, that they might do it with joy. Let me ask you something. Hey, everybody look right up here. How much joy is it around your house when your child's living in rebellion? I guess your heart just as light as a feather is, and you're just going around singing all day long because you've got a child, bless your heart, that will not mind the thing you tell them. They're renegades in their heart, and you know as well as you know you're living, that saps the joy out of your life, that pulls the enjoyment and the blessing out of your heart, that'll leave you low and dry and in the valley. But if you've got a child that's obedient to God, obedient to you, I'll tell you, it'll bring great honor and great joy to your life.
Amen.
Let me ask you something. How do you think a preacher feels?
Amen.
Put yourself in his place.
Yes, sir.
Huh? How do you think he feels? I'm going to tell you, folks. Hey, and by the way, and I'll have to give an account to God over it.
Right.
I have to give an account to God. Somebody said, you won't have to give an account to God for me. Oh, yes, I will.
Right.
That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
That's what that book says. That's right. That they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Do you know what Brother Paul's saying there? Brother Paul's saying a man that is a ruler over you and watching for your soul, and you're a rebel and disobedient to the Bible, that it's not only a grief to the preacher, but it's unprofitable for you. It's going to get you nowhere with God.
Amen.
Well, I ain't going to let him tell me nothing, buddy. That's some of them's problem.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, there are some things we ought to obey. Besides that, the Bible said, I believe in our text, ought to obey the Lord. Like I said, that's right. In fact, I know you cannot be saved apart from it. He is the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him.
Amen.
Amen. Now somebody said, well, I'm just not going to obey. And by the way, if the only obedience you got is 3 services a week, buddy, you're in bad shape. Hey, I'm talking obedience, church, is walking in the light of the Word of God. Obedience is being confronted with truth, and when truth confronts us, submitting ourselves to that truth, saying, yea, Lord, you're right, and lining up with what the Bible says. That's what obedience is. Well, I tithe. Well, scoop tip to do. I know lost folks that do. I'm glad you do. We'd be in bad shape if you didn't. Thank God, but I'm telling you, if our obedience is that, ain't no deeper than that, we're in bad shape. Hey, obedience is not a one-time shot. It's walking in the light as He is in the light. It is a constant revelation of light and obedience to the light that God gives us. And I'm going to tell you, there's folks on different planes and different levels, and the light I have may not be the light you have, and the light you have may not be the light your neighbor has. So, hey, we better be careful how we conduct ourselves sometimes. But I'm telling you, a man that says he's been saved 15 or 20 years and ain't never got over some of the outward sins of motion is a devil, and without God needs to be saved.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. No doubt about it. Now, listen to this. There is a blessing to obedience and a curse to disobedience. The Bible said in Isaiah 1:19, if you be willing and obedient, willing. Hey, not brought under the rod to make willing. To be obedient. Willingly obedient. Joyfully obedient. Desirous to be obedient. Wanting to please God. Desiring to please God. If you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Isaiah 1:19. But he said in verse number 20, but if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword.
Amen.
Folks, that's just a word of God.
Right.
There ain't but one way to be happy, and that's to trust and obey. That's the only way a man can be happy, is to obey God. Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about in all things, is to obey God. Now, when everybody listen to me, we're getting ready to go to some scriptures. I've kind of got through the introduction, and I want you to follow me, if you would, please. I want you to follow me. There are some hindrances to obedience. There are some things that will hinder you. I don't know. You know, I'm just trying to follow God. I meditated up until 2 o'clock this afternoon and prayed and tried to write down a few little things that I felt like might help some in the church. I don't know. God laid it on my heart, so I'm going to use it. But there are some hindrances. Hey, I think one of the greatest examples in all the Bible of a disobedient man is that of Saul. I find nowhere in the Bible that the man ever obeyed one command God gave him. Nothing. I'm not talking about Saul, I'm not talking about Saul of the New Testament now that became Paul. I'm talking about King Saul that preceded David as king of Israel. Somebody said, I thought he was anointed. Oh, he was. And we're going to get to that in a minute. But I'm telling you that in Matthew chapter 15, the book of 1 Samuel, God gave Samuel a charge and said, look here, hey, ain't an amazing thing. God told the preacher to go tell the king.
Amen.
Oh, somebody said, you ought not to talk about the president. Somebody ought to talk about the rebel.
Amen.
Somebody ought to expose the devil and his sin. And if a man of God's got any character and backbone about it, he'll do it.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. I'm going to tell you, hey, and look up here, and I don't give a flip. Buddy, I ain't a preaching for your money, but I'm going to tell you why most Baptist preachers in Kentucky won't say a thing about Bill Clinton. They got Democratic a congregation that are Democrat to the core and voted for the man, and they know if they say a thing against him, they're done. Because he's a Democratic state, and buddy, there ain't some people that would vote for a Democrat if a Billy Goat and a jackass are running on a ticket.
Amen.
Somebody said, would you vote for a Republican? Not if he had the same qualifications Clinton had.
Right.
And I'm wondering how far the man's going to have to go before somebody in America with some backbone and enough political power stands up against the man. Now you're looking at one little runny Baptist preacher that's fed up to his eyeballs with sin in the White House, thinking sodomites and sin. adultery and fornication and all that mess, lying, cheating, killing, selling us out to a bunch of communists. I'm telling you, hey, I'm not so sure that the spirit of Stalin or the spirit of Hitler's not living in that man. God help us. Amen. Ain't it strange that God sent a preacher? He said, Mr. King, here's a message from God. He said, now you go down there to the Amalekites and do business. Get rid of them. Because they were rebels to God, and they did Israel evil when it brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And so Saul Samuel gives Saul the command from God, and Saul heads out to the Agag and the Amalekites. But when he gets there, he spares Agag. And he takes the best of the flock, the best of the sheep, and brings them back to do sacrifice. Amen. And God confronts the preacher again. Said, they sin in the camp again, Samuel. Said, Saul, it repenteth me. God said, I'm sorry I ever made him king. He's a disobedient, renegade rebel. And it repents my soul. It makes me sick. In other words, if I can break her down in some street vernacular, God said, it makes me want to puke about what this man's doing. Hey, look up here. Disobedience is a stench in the nostrils of God. He despises it. He loathes it. He hates it. He hates somebody trying to overlord themselves over the power and authority of Almighty God. You better listen now. God's in somebody's picnic basket tonight. Amen. And God said, I'm grieved. When Samuel went down and confronted Saul, Saul said, if I can find a verse, just read it. And Samuel came to Saul in verse 13 of that chapter and said to him, old Saul said, blessed be thou the Lord. I performed the commandment of the Lord. And old Samuel in the next verse said, hey, if you have, he said, what meaneth the bleating of the sheep that I hear? And the lowing of the cattle, what's it going on? He said, you are supposed to destroy every man, every woman, all the animals, bring them. Oh, he said, hey, said the people made me do it. Hey, as a holy man of God, the people made me do it. I'm going to tell you, that's why a man can stand in the pulpit and suck cigarettes and wear Bermuda shorts. Bless God, that's right, and live like a devil. Because the folks sitting out on the pew, he's scared to death of them because they signed his paycheck, and he's scared to death to tell them the truth. And I'm going to tell you right now, buddy, I've been here over 10 years. And I ain't never run from a preacher, and I ain't running from one now. I don't give a flip how big the congregation is, how mean they are, how many 38s they carry. I got a few of them myself. I ain't about to run from none of them. And I ain't scared of how big a crowd they got. Amen! I tell them, look, some of you sitting there, I said, oh, Brother Hall, Lord, say that now. We're going to lose support. You can't lose something you never did have. That's right. But look here. It grieved God. Buddy, and Samuel had to take the sword and hew Agag to pieces. The kingdom was rent from Saul and his disobedience. Saul said, hey. Said, obedience is better than sacrifice. And he said, hey. Said, you're stubborn and rebellious, and that's like the sin of witchcraft, buddy. And it's something that God hates. He said, today is the day that God has rent the kingdom from you, divided in half, and gave it to somebody else. And everybody listen right up here and look very carefully. Buddy, God gave me this today in my secret place. And I'm telling you, if it don't fit him, I guarantee you it fits Saul. And it fits about 99% of people today. Do you know what hindered him from being obedient to God? I'm fixing to tell you. Personal ambitions in life. He was an ambitious man, amen, that wanted the praise of the people. Yes, he desired the praise of man more than the praise of God, and it led him to disobedience before God. I'm telling you, I'm just about half souped up tonight. Amen. Somebody said, are you mad at sin and the devil? Amen. Personal ambitions. Now, you hear me well, buddy. Your personal ambitions and what you want rather than what God wants be one of the greatest hindrances you'll ever have in your life to being obedient to God. Amen. If what God wants If what God wants cuts the grain of what you want, son, that's where the rubber meets the road, and that's where God will prove you whether your heart is in faith, whether your life is in grace, whether your soul is under the blood, or whether you're still a rebel living in the world. I know that's right. Personal ambition. You know why he said the people done it. And look here. Then when Samuel cleaned his flour for that, you know what the second thing he came up with? He said, we just saved the best to sacrifice to God. Yes. Said, we want to do it all for Him. After all, we're just doing it all for Jesus. After all, Brother Hall, you can't win nobody but being hard like you are. I mean, we're identifying with the people God sent us to redeem. That's why I chew tobacco like they do and cuss like they do and watch television like they do, go to ball games like they do. I'm just identifying with them. I'm trying to win folk. I'm just trying to win folk. What are you going to do, crawl down in the same pit they're in, try to win them? What are you going to do, fall to the same low of immorality and ungodliness they got to try to pull them out? No, sir, buddy. Amen. I tell you, Jesus identified Himself with us, but not one time did He ever take Himself with the sin of this world to come to where we were and rescue us and bless your heart. That's the example I'm going to follow. Amen. That fellow down yonder in Bourbon Street said, I know what I'll do. I'll go into the honky-tonks and preach to them in there. What was his name? Called him the Bourbon Street Preacher. Huh? Booth. No, it wasn't. Nothing Booth. No. No, this fella's a modern day fella. That's right. I think his name after a while, but it wasn't long till the Bourbon Street preacher was drinking bourbon with the rest of them. Wasn't long till the Bourbon Street man was a whoremonger. Somebody said, I'm going into beer joints and witness to him. You better stay out.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, you'll never win anybody getting down on their level, buddy. No, sir, they're looking for somebody that's real. Hey, look, for somebody that's got a little bit more than they got. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, well, said they ain't looking for somebody that's got quite what all we got. We ain't got much. God help us. Amen. Personal ambitions caused Saul to disobey the word of God. Now look here. You know what the results of that was? You know what the consequences was? It said in verse number 11, it repenteth me that I have set Saul up to be king. I say it sorely grieved the heart of God.
Amen.
You know the disobedience sorely. I mean, it just don't grieve God. It sorely grieves the heart of God.
Amen.
Oh, yes, sir. He became the author of eternal salvation, church, to all them that obey Him.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Sorely grieved the heart of God. Oh, how it broke His heart. How God wept. When God said that it grieved, that it repented me, that I've set Him up, and He said, for He has turned back from following me. God said, my heart's broken. There's a man that I've anointed. There's a man I've set over my people. There's a man that we put confidence in. There's a man that the people look to for confidence and leadership. And now he's a renegade and a rebel, and he's soft-minded and a yellow belly and a coward that will not follow God.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you, I'd rather die than to turn back. I ain't turning back. By the grace of God, I ain't turning back. I'm not changing. I'm not going to stop preaching against sin. I ain't going to stop preaching against Hollywood and the Wildcats, long hair on men, shorts on men. I ain't a stopping.
Amen.
Sorely grieved the heart of God. Now, you better watch this one. This one's catchy. Because of his personal ambitions, it sorely grieved the heart of God. Secondly, it separated very friendships. Huh? Said in verse number 35, and Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. There's two mourning people there. God's mourning, Samuel's mourning. But look here, and everybody look right up here. I want you to get a hold of this. That's a whole lot deeper than just saying Samuel didn't go around Saul no more.
Right.
Hey, you need to understand that Samuel is the man that anointed him.
Right. Amen. Right.
Samuel Daniel is a man that took the oil of God and poured it over the head of Samuel and put the anointed Holy Ghost of God on that man. Do you know what that's equal to today? That's equal today to a man kneeling on this floor, on this platform, and the man of God walking by and laying his hand on him and ordaining him and sending him out to the field to do a work of God. And then that man disobeying God and compromising and living like a devil. And those two men, hey, those very friends, those men that used to be friends and prayed for one another and worshiped God together, and now their friendship is severed because one of them has refused to walk in the light. Are you hearing me? How can two walk together except they be a great church? I'm preaching hard tonight, but I don't know if it's getting to nobody or not. God, help us. I know God's a blessing what I'm saying. I don't know if it's a helping you or not. Amen. I want to ask you something. How do you think I'd feel if my boy that we just ordained back in October went out here and started living like a devil and compromising? And the next time I went up to see him up in Evansville, I saw him out in the parking lot playing a little old football or something like that with a bunch of them devils. He's up there running around in a pair of Bermuda shorts. And I say, boy, what are you doing? Oh, Daddy, I'm just trying to win them to God. Amen. Then when I anointed you that day, you took an oath and a vow in your heart that you'd live a dedicated, separated, consecrated, holy life for God. Amen. Now you've turned back. You've went away from following God. You've, like Demas, haven't loved this present world. You've went back into the world, haven't loved the world more than you love God. You're like all of them except Luke in the life of Paul. All of them went away and deserted Paul. But I'm telling you, Paul stayed faithful to God. You better believe it. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you that disobedience will separate friends, buddy. Not just people. Friends. Now, don't nobody leave me. It severed his kingdom. In verse number 28, the Bible said, and Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. Amen. Hey, look here. And here's how you'll wind up in the end, folks. His personal ambitions kept him from obeying God. And yet, in the final analysis, all of those ambitions that he wanted, he lost them. His kingdom, that's all he wanted. Saul was a man that wanted to remain that head and shoulders above everybody else. He wanted to be the big wheel. He lost it. Son, you cannot put your personal ambitions ahead of God. He'll strip you of it somewhere down the line, buddy. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Yeah. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And God will strip you of it.
Yeah,
that is good, Brother Ricky. If folks will listen, that's good preaching. It'll save you some headache somewhere down the line. Oh, I know. See, this is probably what I should have preached last Tuesday night. See, last Tuesday night was my fault. It wasn't your fault. No, it's Brother Hall's. I miss God. But I ain't missed him tonight. I pray God send a holy hush over this place, and I think he's pretty well stilling it right now. And it don't bother me a bit. Amen. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what's the bottom line? The bottom line is that a rebel is a lost man. I don't care how pious he might seem, buddy. If he's a rebel in his heart, he's a lost man in the eyes of God.
Amen.
You know what he is? If he's without chastisement, he's a bastard.
Amen.
He's not a son.
Amen.
That's what the book says. That's exactly what the book says. And so he severed his kingdom and lost it all. And look here, I'm going to point this out to you. Turn over to chapter number 28. I've got to leave my little literated outline, but that don't bother me. It cost Saul the Lord's presence. You know when Saul went to the witch of Endor and tried to disguise himself and went in and had the witch of Endor. And by the way, I don't really know what happened there. I don't know whether a human had the power back then to pull up a man's spirit that had gone on or not. But something happened in that place. And what I'm getting ready to read you is in the Bible. In verse 15 of chapter 28, it says, and Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me. Do you hear what I said? and God is departed me. And look here, and he answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore have I called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. You know what Saul was saying? Saul had to go to a dead man to try to get direction for his life. Buddy, I'm telling you, his disobedience was like the disobedience of Samson. Samson knew not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. And I'm telling you, there came a day in Saul's life when he became like a dumb man without God. Didn't know the direction of God in his life. I believe there's preachers like that, Brother Jerry, that I could name right now that's rebelled against God, and they have no direction for their life whatsoever. They just out there in limbo, buddy, trying to find something from God, and ain't nothing to find because God done left them. I'm talking about men that's pastored for years. Somebody said, Brother Hawkins, you had it happen to you. God forbid. Church, this is why Brother Hall's preaching lately on being diligent with God, staying with God, stay in the Bible, read the Bible, pray, come to the house of God. Amen. God's men, people that are saved and follow God, the devil can trip them up and feed them a lie till they follow the devil rather than following God. Somebody said, how can that be? I'm going to tell you, because his ministers, buddy, hey, they can become, that's right, they can become, transform themselves into ministers of light. Somebody said, what are you saying? I'm saying, as a Christian, you better not only learn to follow the preacher, but you better get into that Bible and know something about the Bible.
Amen.
What are you going to do if your preacher ever falls? Who are you going to follow? You'd be like some folks I know. They'd be running around like a chicken, their head cut off, and won't know what to do. Huh?
Amen.
God help us. Lord help us. Now, personal ambitions. I'll try to be shorter on this point. And there's one more illustration. Really, there's two more, and the last one will be very short, just brief. I'll give you a good illustration on the third one. But the second one, I'm afraid, is as bad as the first one. You see, here's a man that disobeyed because of personal ambitions. But I find another disobedient man, and everybody look right up here, he's a preacher. 1 Kings chapter number 13, Jeroboam had set up an altar, a false altar. And hey, isn't it a tragedy that God had to bring a preacher out of Judah to go into Samaria to cry out against Jeroboam's altar? And that young prophet went into Samaria and cried out against that altar, and Jeroboam rebuked him, and Jeroboam's arm withered up and drawled up, and he couldn't even bring his arm in, and he begged that preacher to pray to God to restore it. And the preacher was gracious and prayed, and he restored that arm. Oh, Jeroboam said, hey, if you'll come home with me, man, said, I'll give you food and water, I'll set you up. Said, no doubt you proved you're a man of God, but hey, God had told that young preacher, said, you go to Samaria, but don't you eat bread there, don't you eat water there, and don't return in the same direction that you come from. And he said, I can't go with you, Jeroboam. And he left. But he left. There was an old mossy-backed Baptist preacher in that town that didn't know God, living in sin, living like a devil. Done, got so far, far away from God. There's a preacher at home. Somebody said, don't come over into our county and preach. Somebody better come to your county and preach, because you, Church of God, ain't doing nothing. There's a man at home, and God had to dispatch somebody from Judah all the way to Samaria to preach to Jeroboam.
Right.
Buddy, I'm in the hole tonight, son.
Right.
God's got me hooked.
Right.
That's right, God's got me hooked. And that old, all that young preacher leaving an old, that old false mossy back prophet told his boy, said, hey, go saddle an ass and go get that man. And said, saddle me an ass, I'm going after him. And they saddled him up a donkey, and he took off after that young prophet. And I'm not reading all of it. You can read 1 Kings 13 for yourself. It's there.
Right.
When that old prophet Tom said, "Oh, wait a minute," said, "Are you the preacher from Judah?" He said, "I'm him." He said, "Come home with me." I said, "God said you're supposed to come home, men, eat bread, drink water, and refresh yourself." That young prophet said, "No," said, "God told me not to eat no bread or drink water in this place and not to go back the same way I come." But that old man lied like a devil. He said, "Hey," he said, "I'm a preacher too." You better watch everybody that calls himself a preacher. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, you're hard. Not half as hard as I'd like to be, but I ain't never done what J. Frank Gore. I ain't never brought nobody's head in here and put it on the pulpit and preached on the wages of sin yet. I ain't never killed nobody in my office, but I have been tempted to a few times. J. Frank did. You folks just think Brother Hall's mean and rough. Some we've seen no preacher's day. And by the way, same folks who think I'm mean and rough love Brother Roloff. You know why? He's dead. They don't have to face Brother Roloff. God, he can preach against their television, their Hollywood, and all that myth. And they just, "Oh, ain't Brother Roloff wonderful?" He's dead. They don't have to face him. Huh? But here, look here. That old lying preacher said, "God," said, "an angel spoke to me and said, he told me you're supposed to come back with me." And that young preacher right there disobeyed God. And he went back to that man's house. And look here. And God told that man. God told that preacher, said, "Because you've disobeyed me," he said, "your carcass will not lie in the sepulcher of your fathers." He said, "You're a disobeyer and a disobedient prophet. And your carcass will not lie in the sepulcher of your fathers." And look here. And in verse 24 of that chapter, the Bible said, when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way. And an ass stood, and the ass stood by it. And the lion also stood by the carcass. I want everybody, because this is not original to me. I heard Phil Kidd use it, but I think it's pretty good. I think it's pretty good. Somebody said, "Why didn't the lion devour the ass?" I'm going to tell you why. They go into it together. That ass is a type of a rebellion. That lion is a type of the devil. And I wrote down here, look here. I wrote down the three things that got that man was a lying prophet, a lazy donkey, and a lion in wait. They got him, buddy. They got him, yes, sir. That old lazy donkey, amen. Somebody said, "Why?" Hey, look here. He was a rebel. A donkey in the Bible is a type of a sinner and a rebel. And some that are lazy, mark it down. Laziness of your spirit is a type, the fact that you're lost and without God. Son, I'm going to tell you what. You can be a working giant in your body and be lazy in your spirit toward God. Ain't that right? There was a lying prophet. Somebody said, "Preacher, what got that man?" I'm glad you asked. See, personal ambitions got Saul. But poor judgment got the man of God. Oh, he made some bad judgment. Poor judgment. Look here, folks, after God's told you something, you better hold on to it. I don't give a rat tail flip, bless your heart. What anybody else says, how they try to convince you, you better hang to it. Amen. Hey, look here. I don't know what everybody's going to say about Benny, and I don't know. I told Brother Junior yesterday, I don't know God's will for Benny's life. I don't know God's will for your life. There's a lot of preachers try to say they know God's will, and I can give you some counsel along the way. But when it comes right down to the bottom line of God's will for your life in the areas of your service, I don't know everything. But you know what Brother Junior said? He said, "I'm glad." He said, "I wish all young preachers, if they went over here and tried to find God and he wasn't there, they'd go somewhere else. And if he's not there, go somewhere else. But here, Brother Hall, keep on looking till you find where God's at." Son, there's too many of them right now that's went somewhere out of pressure and stayed there outside the will of God, and they've done nothing but hurt themselves and hurt the people they're with. I say that to everybody. Are you there, Lord? I'm not behind that door. Are you there, Lord? No, I'm not there. Are you there? I'm not there. Keep searching. Keep knocking. Keep hunting till you find where God's at in your life. And I'm going to tell you, don't get discouraged. If some stupid idiot out there that don't can't discern the will of God and the mind of God, then sensitive to the Holy Ghost, rants and raves on you, if you don't find God in one place, keep on looking till you find Him wherever He might be. Thank God folks got enough discernment about them. Bless the Lord to know when they're outside the will of God and when they're not. Amen. Now listen. All three of these were confederate. They worked together. And look here, folks. There is a trinity of evil, buddy, that is working in, not only say in your life, but they're working to influence your life. To do their best to get you to make some stupid decisions. You better listen to God. Hey, look here. Look here. Death! Anything. Any spirit. Any voice that would tell you to quit, turn around, go back. I'm going to tell you that is the spirit of Antichrist. Anything that will drag you out of the house of God, get you away from preaching, I'm telling you, you better kick at the seat of the pants and confess to God that it's Antichrist and you want to know the will of God for your life. God will never pull you away from Him or drive you away from Him. Son, even Balaam. Read the scriptures about Balaam. A hard one for me to figure out. He was a hireling prophet that tried to curse the people of God when God had put a blessing on him. But I'm here to tell you that God still dealt kindly with Balaam. And you know when Balaam met his Waterloo? When the people of Israel come into the land and possess the land, when they come into the land, Balaam died there. They killed Baal in one of their battles. Balaam, they took him and killed him. Judgment fell. But God still showed mercy to that man. You hear what I'm saying? Buddy, I'm telling you, somebody said, well, I don't know, Brother Hall. I think I'm just going to quit on God. You better think twice. You may be listening to a lying prophet. You may be listening to a roaring liar or a dumb donkey.
Amen. Yes, sir.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Somebody said, what am I going to do if I'm a reprobate? Folks, look here to me. There ain't no reprobate, none, that's going to keep on seeking God or have any spiritual desire for God at all. A reprobate is a man that has no spiritual inklings about him at all. In fact, he'll loathe God and loathe the house of God and loathe the preaching of the Word of God and loathe the Word of God itself. You won't have to worry and wonder if you're a reprobate. You will know it.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Now, there's one other illustration and I'm quitting. Hey, personal ambitions will hinder your obedience. Poor judgment will hinder your obedience. I want to say thirdly, pride in the heart.
Amen.
Now, I'm not going to turn there, but there's a man by the name of Pharaoh. That's all I know him by is Pharaoh. And oh, I'm telling you, he kept shaking that fist in the nostrils of God. Who is the Lord that I should obey? Who is the Lord that I should obey Him?
Amen.
And over and over, Moses confronted that man with the Word of God. Somebody said, well, what do you do with the Bible? What do you do when the Bible said that God hardened his heart? God allowed his heart to harden through his rebellion. But look here. Every time Moses went to him, God was giving that man another opportunity. Can you see the mercy of God in that? I'm telling you, God's a merciful God. But that pride wouldn't let him obey God. Who's the Lord? I should obey Him.
Right.
Oh, but on the other hand, look here, you know what the opposite of pride is? Humility.
Yes, sir.
And on the other hand is our blessed Lord. What an example. And He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What a death. By those things that He suffered, though He were at Son, He learned obedience by it. What a
Hey, and he humbled himself. No pride there, buddy. No pride there. Now, look here. There's some lessons, and I'm going to mention these right quick. Hey, lessons in obedience. The Redeemer, our Lord, has shown us where we are to wear our creature nature. That is, complete and unquestioning subjection to God is required. That's what's required, folks. Hey, there's where our old creature nature ought to be worn, in total obedience and subjection to God. Period. Somebody said, well, God said it and I believe it and that settles it. No, if God says it, that settles it. Nobody knows where you believe it or not. It's settled in the mind of God. Hey, Christ has taught us to the extent to which we ought to be submitted. He was obedient unto death.
Yes, sir.
I've got news for you, church. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Now, look up here, and I don't mean to be ugly, but how can a man cuss and drink, chew tobacco, smoke cigarettes, watch ball games, all this stuff, and tell me he's resisting sin?
Amen.
You've got the joke.
Amen.
You say, well, for a saved man don't. Oh, yes, the saved man does have those temptations.
Right.
Man's got to learn to overcome them too, bless your heart.
Amen.
Hey, Christ has showed us that obedience to God will cost something. By the things that he suffered, he learned obedience, and he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. I'd say his obedience cost him plenty.
Amen.
It'll cost you something.
Amen.
You think you're going to ride high on the clouds and be in the will of God and obedience? You dumb, buddy.
Right.
Don't work that way. Hey, sufferings in the will of God are highly instructable. You know what said? Christ himself learned by the things that he suffered. It's good for instruction. And God's love for us does not exempt us from trials. I don't care how much God loves us. It's not going to exempt us from trials. There's going to be trials. Hey, the virtue of obedience, the grace of obedience, it's a virtue that God gives. And I'm telling you, every child of God possesses it. All of them. Possesses it. What are you tonight? Obedient? Would we be obedient unto death if that's what we're called on to do?
That's right.
Pretty deep. Pretty tight, church. Whole lot tighter than what we've ever lived it.
Amen.
God help us. Let's stand together.